Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you loyal to a few airlines because of their frequent flyer programs? Well, you've probably noticed that one constant is change. Yep, you don't know what you're going to get when you go to some airlines. We're going to take a look at the various frequent flyer programs. Jill Gonzalez, who's an analyst at Wallet Hub, has taken a look. She's done some in-depth studies of what they offer, you know, the best ones, the worst ones, etc. And also the ease of using, which is a critical thing as far as I'm concerned. So, Jill, tell us a little bit about the study you all just done.
Sure. So we looked at these frequent flyer programs through several different ways. So first of all, we looked at them through ease of use, as you were saying. We also separated them by flyer type. So a frequent flyer might actually do very well with a certain program, while a light flyer might actually do a lot better with another. So we really did look at this by flyer type across the 10 biggest airlines, everything from huge airlines that fly country or really worldwide, to more budget airlines that have been a little bit more popular post-recession.
Okay. So let's take a look. Now, you mentioned the type of flyer. I mean, I have a friend who on one particular airline, he's at platinum status because he's flown that airline when he was working all over the world. So, you know, he gets a lot of perks for that. And now they do change sometimes what he has availability. But he's one of those frequent flyer types that get elevated to the top status of a frequent flyer program. But then there are people in the middle, and as you say, the not-so-frequent flyer. It's interesting that there's a big difference in whether which category you fit into. So what does the frequent flyer need to look for in a program?
Well, we'll define what types of flyers we had. So a frequent flyer spends almost $6,000 yearly on airline travel, average flyer about half of that, about $3,000, and a light flyer spends less than $500 on travel each year. So that at least sets you up for which type of profile you can expect to be using.
Mm-hmm.
And now across the board, really, we found that Delta Airlines was number one here, particularly for average flyers, so those spending about $3,000 a year. Number two was Alaska Airlines, and they actually were tied very closely with Hawaiian Airlines. And then coming up in a really close fourth was Virgin America, particularly for both light and frequent flyers. If you're an average flyer, you kind of get lost in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's important for people to consider if they're going to choose an airline and they have the availability and flexibility to choose a particular airline to go to their destination. Do you find that most travelers kind of do lock into an airline and try to use it as often as they can? It seems to me like that would make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, besides price, besides which airlines fly from your local hub,
mm-hmm.
the third factor here really is these loyalty programs now. So people are really relying on them, especially these frequent flyers that are spending boatloads of money each year. They actually can really get some lucrative money or miles back.
Okay, like my friend who, with all the miles, the money that he's spent on this one particular airline. Now, so you focus on an airline, you get your frequent flyer status, you get on the miles. The complaint that I hear, and this is a complaint that my husband makes too, because he's generally the one that books us and tries to use miles that are accumulated through a credit card or whatever, it's the ease of use. They don't necessarily make it easy for you to use these miles. I mean, sometimes he spends hours on the phone doing this. Should I give him lessons, Jill, or is this typical?
You know, unfortunately, it's typical, especially with most programs now, miles do expire. So if you're trying to navigate which miles have expired, when they expire, et cetera, it does definitely differ by program. There is no really one-size-fits-all. So about less than 20% of the programs have miles that never expired. So obviously that's two airlines, Delta and JetBlue. They're the only major airlines whose miles do not expire because of inactivity. Most expire after inactivity of 12 to 23 months. After that, it's typically 24 to 36 months. Some actually expire just after 3 months. So you really do have to be careful, read the fine print, and make sure you know that you're using those miles after you've actually earned them.
Joe, where can people find this information? At your website?
Yes, head to wallethub.com and look for the best frequent flyer program study.
Yeah, you've done everything, including graphs, and a very, very impressive study, very helpful in terms of looking at frequent flyer programs. Now, is there any difference whether you're accumulating miles through the actual flying? In other words, so you're flying a lot, or if you're a frequent buyer and you're doing it through your credit card, is there any difference in the utilization of those miles?
Well, we used to see that many of these programs rely more on the miles themselves, right? So if you're flying to New York from California, that would get you more points than New York to Boston. Now it's really more about the spend. Most of these programs have kind of switched over, because sometimes you can be flying a very short distance, but still for a lot of money. So now it more so relies not necessarily on how frequently you buy, although, of course, miles do expire, but how much you're buying.
Okay. So, but what about the miles that you accumulate through what you spend on a credit card? Is there any difference in utilizing those than the miles you get through actual flying? Are they all treated the same?
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking here. So are you asking, you know, there are miles that you get through, say, Capital One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Right, right.
Right. So there are co-branded cards. There's an AA Advantage, that's American Airlines, a Citi card that you can use and get miles back that are also on your AA Advantage account.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be using, you know, a run-of-the-mill kind of travel card, like a Barclay card arrival, et cetera. Now, having those miles are separate than whatever account you may be on.
Okay, but I'm not quite certain about the utilization of them. Let's suppose that we have traveler A, whose frequent flyer miles have been earned by flights that they've made on that airline. And then we have traveler B, who's got accumulated all these points through a credit card, not for flights necessarily, but because of their spending pattern. Are those two miles, frequent flyer miles treated as the same by the airlines?
Only if that credit card is co-branded with your specific airline.
Well, that's what I mean. Let's just hang on a minute. Let's just take a break here and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest today is Jill Gonzalez. She is an analyst with Wallet Hub, and we're talking about frequent flyer programs. And, you know, when people are starting to make their vacation plans, and a lot of people are going to be taking vacations coming up soon, I expect. And this year, 2017, what is it? You all said at least 42% of Americans are going to take a vacation, and that's probably going to mean that a lot of us are going to be flying. So spending your money wisely is part of what you're talking about, and it's wallethub.com, and you can get the frequent flyer information right there on the website, right?
That's right.
Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit more in depth. Delta, and you said what, Alaskan Airlines, their miles do not expire. So that's an important thing if you don't travel a lot.
Delta and JetBlue, yes.
And JetBlue, oh, excuse me, okay. But Alaska Airlines, you said, was one of the top ones, Alaska and Hawaii?
Yes, Alaskan and Hawaiian have seen the most improvement, too, from 2016 to this year.
Okay. Now, do people, when they're making their plans, when they're making their travel plans, is that going to be a consideration? Most people, I think, are going to try to use their frequent flyer miles. We certainly do.
Absolutely. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, about 7% of all flights are paid for with points or with miles. So we've seen that number grown, especially post-recession, people really trying to get that bang for their buck. But a lot of people have not yet caught on to just how lucrative these loyalty programs can be. However, that subset that has really does get a lot of their flights completely paid for, mm-hmm, from these points or miles.
Yeah, we are. My husband's really good at doing this. As I said, he spends a lot of time on the phone, but he usually succeeds in being able to use the miles that we've accumulated either through a branded credit card or through our flying. Okay, so we're sitting down and we're looking at these programs. Now, one of the things that consumers complain about is that, you know, you're in midstream with this loyalty program. You've given them all your money and then they suddenly change the parameters. Are they permitted to change my parameters on miles that you are on frequent flyer miles that you've accumulated, or do those changes become effective for frequent flyer miles in the future?
Now, because these programs have their own rules, right, instead of credit cards changing that are protected by the CARD Act, et cetera,
right,
there's really not one of them for these programs. So usually they can go ahead and change on their own without a lot of notice, but that's when you get on the phone or your husband gets on the phone and really says, listen, is there a grandfather clause, et cetera? I mean, because of this market right now, because these programs are so competitive, they will probably work with you and do what they can to keep you on board.
Now, there was one thing that came out of this study that I thought was very interesting, that if you purchase the airline miles, and how would you purchase them? You would purchase them from a friend or how? But you say that they cost an average of 62% more than they're worth?
Yeah, so you can purchase them usually right from the airline. Say that you're 50 points away from a free flight.
Okay,
a lot
okay.
of times you'll be prompted to pay for the points. Say, hey, listen, you can buy these 50 points for this much money or you can add it on to any flight. Usually that's a prompt at the end of the booking process. So all of these airlines definitely offer you the opportunity to just go ahead and buy these miles.
Buy what you need to make up to get your, okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct. But that's usually the worst case scenario here because they cost upwards of 60% more than they're worth when you purchase them instead of just earning them.
So the best way is to earn them, right? Now, any points on people in trying to book using frequent flyer miles, what are some of the tricks that you need to know to actually get to utilize those miles?
Well, of course, it's knowing whether blackout dates apply and when those dates are. A lot of times, you won't know that you're actually in a blackout date if you're buying with miles till the end of your process, because then you think, I'm going to go on this trip anyway. I guess I'll just save my miles for later. It's kind of how they get you. So make sure that you know, A, if there are blackout miles, and B, when they are. And then, C, make sure that you have all of the points that you possibly can before booking. A lot of these programs actually offer retroactive miles for members, and that's going anywhere from 1 to 12 months back.
Now, what do you mean retroactive? I'm not quite sure that I understand.
Sure. Say that you became a member in October, but you flew with whatever airline in July.
You just want
a member then. But you can go ahead and enter that flight information and get the points still if it's usually within a year.
So if you've just joined the program and you've flown with that airline within the year before you're joining, then you may be able to get credit for those miles. That's great advice. I love that. That makes a lot of sense. Well, and, you know, they're giving you something you've already earned, really, in a way. Do you think that airlines are going to continue with frequent flyer programs, or are they so ingrained into our travel habits that they're going to continue?
Absolutely. Now more than ever, we've actually seen most of these programs get better. And this is just within the past year. Say Hawaiian Airlines used to get about $12 back for every $100 you spent last year. Now you get over $20 back.
Wow.
And we really have seen other airlines follow suit here because, again, these are lucrative programs in a very competitive space, and elite flyers, frequent flyers, look for that.
Now, do the airlines limit the number of seats that they will assign to frequent flyer passengers on any particular flight?
No, I would think it's the opposite. You know, these tend to be best customers. They tend to be spending the most money annually. So I would think that airlines want as many frequent flyers as possible on their flights.
Okay, so you're saying that they're not going to limit the number of seats. They don't just have a certain number on a plane. I mean, could they be a plane that was completely filled up with frequent flyers? that are did not pay for the that I'm sorry that did not have to pay but use points or miles to get the tickets?
I'm sure. I mean, that's not a use case that we studied, but okay. I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah. Okay. So, but anyway, going back to the question of using those miles, do you find that most people are able to? Do you, was this part of your study? Are people able to use their miles? Do they use them, or do lots of them just elapse?
It's split here, and we see that not only with miles, but with many other types of kind of credit card reward systems here.
Mm-hmm.
But we see a lot of money left on the table year after year, and it's not necessarily all due to ease of use or lack thereof. A lot of times, people can't keep up. They watch these miles expire. They watch them either be unused because of blackout dates, et cetera. So there certainly are a lot of miles or money here left on the table year after year, but I do think that customers are really catching on.
Well, I guess you really have to have a computer program to keep track of them if you have a lot of them. So it can be challenging. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She is an analyst with Wallet Hub, and we're talking about their latest study on frequent flyer miles. And the happy findings is that these programs are actually improving. So I think there was a while there, Jill, that a lot of people used to complain about the frequent flyer programs, the perks being cut and all of this sort of stuff. So what you're telling me now is we're seeing a turnaround. We're seeing more value for them. That's a very positive thing for consumers. So I really encourage them to go to your website. And you want to give us that information again?
It's wallethub.com, and look for the Best Frequent Flyer Program Study.
Okay, now we haven't talked about it, but in the Frontier Airlines credit card, there are some credit cards that you all define as the best airline credit cards. Frontier Airlines credit card, Platinum Delta SkyMiles credit card, and American Express are some of the best. Is that because they offer the greater number of perks when you use them?
They typically offer the best miles back for what you're using them for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is actually something that goes back to your question at the beginning of the program, that frequent flyer programs and co-branded credit cards are definitely two different things. So Frontier Airlines, as far as their credit card, gives you a good 3-to-1 ratio back for miles on what you're spending mm-hmm. on travel. But when you go to use their loyalty program, and that's really just paying for your flights, et cetera, with mm-hmm. these miles, that's when it's not the best. So you're going to get a good bang for your buck with that credit card. However, when you're looking to really get the miles and pay for things because of blackout dates, because of rewards value, et cetera, it doesn't match up.
So
that's actually a good point.
They're giving with one hand and taking away with the other. So
yes, exactly.
in a sense. Okay, so I would assume that booking early is always a good idea. What about the ability to, if something happens and you have to cancel your trip, are those miles, your frequent flyer miles, are they usually, can you get them back? I mean, if you have to cancel, is there a general trend in terms of that type of thing?
Yes, generally you can get them back. This is more true for miles than it is for cash.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to what airline you're using, of course, and when you cancel.
Okay.
Are you canceling 6 hours before the flight?
Oh, yeah, then that's problematic. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think less than 24 hours probably is not guaranteed. Are you canceling the week of? Are you canceling 30 days before? You know, for certain programs, that really matters. For some, as long as it's 24 hours away or further, you're fine.
Okay.
So again, that's something to really look for in the fine print.
Look at the fine print. Do they make it easy for you to understand it? Maybe. Okay. So that's another thing to look for. Okay. So you're saying that consumers, flyers, though, can be very fickle, that they're not typically very loyal. They go where the best perks are offered or the best frequent flyer miles?
Well, they choose choose which airline based on price and based on proximity they want to be loyal to. They might have a few different brands then that they can pick from, but they are definitely willing to hop ship or hop jet to a different program if they know that they're not getting the best bang for their buck anymore.
So that does bring the competitive spirit in there in terms of the airlines competing. Do you think that other airlines are likely to follow the lead of Delta and JetBlue and make their miles permanent, not expire?
I think so. I think that that's a trend that we could be seeing pick up within the next couple of years or so. You know, already we've seen Alaskan and Hawaiian try to make up with that with their rewards value. Mm-hmm. So maybe, yes, there is miles expiration, but the rewards value per $100 spent has already almost doubled just within 1 year. So you can see that some of these programs, if they're not doing one thing, they definitely try to make up for it on another.
Now, you have charts, and I visited your website, and I looked at the things that you had done. So you're going to make it much easier for me as a traveler to sit down and look at all of these and see who performs the best in what areas and making some decisions on airlines that I use. Of course, there are a lot of other factors, but who serves my area, who's going where I want to go, et cetera, et cetera. Any other points you want to make to consumers about the most effective utilization of their frequent flyer program?
Yeah, if you know that you're between two or three, you haven't settled on one yet, and you might want to get a credit card, et cetera, to go along with it, I mean, that's a big decision. So not only do we have these charts and graphs, but you can actually see one by one from American to Southwest to JetBlue, you can see what they scored on each one of our metrics. If one thing is more important to you than another, then you can go ahead and look down through that column and see which of these airlines did the best.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of homework beforehand is going to be very useful in terms of the actual benefits that you're going to get.
Yes. There's a little bit of homework probably leads to a lot of miles and a lot of money saved.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you see as the trends in airline prices, let's say, coming up over this year of 2017? Do you anticipate that airline prices are going to go up in the summers? They sometimes do. Or what are any forecasts for us here, Jill? Look in your crystal ball.
Well, I think every summer, yes, we will see these prices go up. Every year around the holidays, we will see prices increase. So that's something that I can bet on pretty much every year. But I think now, since we're seeing consumer confidence really on the rise, we're seeing people take on travel, take on tourism a little bit more. The airlines, unfortunately, want to prosper because of that.
Of course they do.
So they're taking advantage of that, and we might see a little bit of an increase in many of these prices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, they have to make a living. But then, of course, price of gasoline, fuel, has dropped over the last year significantly. Was that reflected in any of the prices the airlines charge?
I think a couple years ago when fuel really was kind of rock bottoming, that's when we saw this decline the most. Now it's been more so on the up, so I won't think that we would see as much of a reflection of that in our ticket prices.
Well, Jill, it's been a real treat talking to you, giving us some insight, and I'm going to make sure my husband listens to this program, so we'll make sure he's doing it all right when he books our airline tickets. Bless his heart for doing that. So anyway, thank you so much, Jill. You've been listening to a Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Jill Gonzalez, who is an analyst with Wallet Hub, and we've been talking about their recent study on frequent flyer programs and who's the best, who offers the best, who has miles that don't expire, all of those things that are important to you as a traveler and can save you a lot of money if you utilize it wisely. So Jill, again, thank you for joining us. We've really had it's been a fun time with you as usual. So anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed it. You can contact me, Shirley, at callforaction.org. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.